Well, thank you, Gloria.
It is a real privilege for me to be able to be on the prayer line tonight. It's a privilege, really, to be able to teach. I know that there are folks from not just all over the United States, but literally from all over the world that get on the Mission Prayer Network line. It's just a great ministry that's going on. Grace tells me all the time all the miracles that are happening and people getting healed and lives changed. And she often will bring a request to our prayer group, something that's come up from the prayer line. And of course, we'll pray and agree with y'all because we know God is doing great things. God answers our prayers. And that's what I've been teaching on the last couple of times. And I promised we were going to teach about intercessory prayer. And the first two times, we really taught more just about the basics of prayer and what is prayer. And we talked a little bit about how that relates to intercessory prayer. But tonight I want to move more into intercessory prayer. And I want to start with a quote for you. It's a quote from a doctor. His name is Larry Dossey. And he says this: prayer is a medical and scientific issue now. Today, over 130 controlled studies investigating the effects of intercessory prayer have been carried out, and over half of these show statistical evidence that prayer has a significant effect. Then he talks about an additional 250 studies that show how, on the average, folks who practice prayer are healthier in their lives. But what he says is that intercessory prayer is actively at work to heal people, and scientists are beginning to see this. They're beginning to see studies where heart patients are prayed for, and those heart patients that are being prayed for heal much quicker. They get better much faster. Intercessory prayer is now a scientific fact. It works. And so let's talk some tonight about what is intercessory prayer. You know, we talked about how prayer is words mixed with faith to accomplish God's will. That our job when we go to pray is to find out what God's will is, and then we pray using our voice as much as we can, using our mouth, using words, and we mix our words with faith, or we say our words with faith, believing that God is going to accomplish what we pray for and what His will is, that He's going to bring that about. And so intercessory prayer is a special kind of prayer. And it's a prayer where we plead on behalf of someone else. We act sort of as a mediator. We seek God's will on behalf of someone else. We're saying, God, I want to know what your will is for this other person, for their situation, for whatever's going on there. And then I'm going to pray. I'm going to stand in your presence, God, and I'm going to pray on behalf of them. I'm going to pray that your will be accomplished for them. Now, intercessory prayer can be a special calling to ministry for some, but it's really a calling to all of us. We're all called to do intercessory prayer. Now, as usual, we're going to look up lots of scriptures tonight, so you may want to write some of these down so that you can go back to them and study them. Turn to Acts chapter 12. I want you to see this out of the Word because I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to take the Word of God for it. I want you to see it from there, study it out yourself, discover for yourself that what I'm saying is the true Word of God. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Peter has been thrown in jail. It says here, so Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. What that's saying there is that the people in this new church that was being formed there in Jerusalem, these people, when they heard Peter been thrown in jail, they got together and they started interceding on Peter's behalf. When your child gets sick and you're praying for them, you're an intercessor. You're making a request to God on their behalf. So God wants all of us to be intercessors at various times. And that's why it's important, I think, for us to learn how to pray a prayer of intercession or to pray as an intercessor. But there are also some folks that are called to a special ministry of intercessory prayer, just like there are some folks that are called to a special ministry of preaching or teaching or praying for the sick. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 5, and I want to help you understand what this scripture is about, and it actually relates to intercessory prayer. Remember, in the Bible times, if you were a widow and had no family at all, you had no means of support. You couldn't go down to Walmart and get a job as a greeter. I mean, there just were no jobs for widows. They were just out of luck. The early church set up a system where they would take people who were truly widows, They would take them into the church. The church would become responsible for taking care of these women, for providing for their food and clothing and a place to live. But they then expected those widows who were the wards of the church, they expected them to spend their time working in the church and being intercessors in the church. Look at this in 1 Timothy 5, starting in verse 3. It says, honor widows who are widows indeed. And then he explains who is not a widow indeed. He says, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety. That is, let the children and grandchildren learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the eyes of God. In other words, he's saying, look, if these widows have children, they're still alive, those children need to be taking care of their mama or their grandmama, whatever it is. Now, she who is a widow indeed, that means someone who is truly a widow, has no family of any kind. Now, she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers day and night. He's saying we expect these widows, when they come into the church and the church starts taking care of them, we expect them to become intercessors. We expect them to begin to work in the ministry of intercessory prayer and to do entreaties or intercessions day and night. Now, if you have been called to a ministry of intercessory prayer, that's not necessarily a full-time calling. It was for these widows, but it may not be for you, just like I'm called as a teacher, but I do other things as well. But I can tell you this, if you've been called to the ministry of intercessory prayer, then you need to stay available to the Holy Spirit, because you never know when the Holy Spirit's going to come on you and say, I need you to intercede on behalf of someone else. My mother is a great example of someone who was called to this ministry of intercessory prayer. She was a housewife. She raised three boys. She didn't work outside the home. Oh, she took the occasional college course, and she was involved in local theater sometimes. But generally, she wanted to make sure that she was not encumbered with anything outside the home, because she wanted to have lots of free time to do two things. To have regular time of prayer where she could pray for whoever God was laying on her heart. And of course, usually that was us three boys and whatever was going on with us. And she would intercede for us with her understanding, with his, however she thought we needed to be prayed for. Well, that's what she did. She did some of that every day. And I appreciated that. That meant a lot to me that I knew mother's praying for me. But the other thing that she wanted to have plenty of time for was those times when she called it getting under a burden. It would be a special anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's like a spiritual gift, you know, like a gift of prophecy or a gift of word of knowledge or word of wisdom. It would come on her, and when she prayed that way, sometimes she didn't have any idea who she was praying for, what she was praying for. She just knew, God wants me to pray right now. Sometimes that was during the day. Sometimes the Lord would wake her up in the middle of the night to begin praying. And she wanted to be free to be obedient so that that ministry of intercession, God could use her anytime he wanted to. As I was preparing this message and praying about the meeting tonight, I just sensed that there was going to be at least somebody on the line who has been called to this kind of ministry. Maybe you didn't really realize that or weren't aware of that before, and the Lord's starting to deal with you about this. And so I want you to listen carefully, because we're going to talk for the rest of the time about how to intercede. What does it mean to be someone who pleads on behalf of another, or someone who mediates or stands in the gap for someone else? You know, it's interesting that the Hebrew word for intercede actually means to impinge or to collide with or to strike or encroach upon or even to trespass. What that means is an intercessor gets in the way of someone. In our case, we're talking about praying to God. We get in God's way. We stand in front of God, won't let him pass until he answers our prayer. That's the mindset of an intercessor from a Jewish standpoint. So going back to our original definition of prayer, prayer is words mixed with faith to accomplish God's will. It helps us understand what is the intercessor's job. The intercessor's job is, first, they need to find out what God's word is on a subject. That means what God's will is on a subject. God's word means what he is saying, what he wants to happen. You may not find God's word in his word. In other words, the Bible doesn't always give us clear indication on every little subject. So a lot of times, especially as an intercessor, we need to hear from the Holy Spirit. We need to have God speaking to us. Sometimes it'll be in the form of a spiritual gift, like word of knowledge or word of wisdom or prophecy or maybe a vision or a dream. Or maybe it'll be a prophet that speaks to us, and that gives us the idea of how we need to pray. So job number one is, I got to find out what God's will is, what His word is. And then job two, for me, the intercessor, is that I need to speak God's word, that is His will on this subject. I need to speak it in faith. That's the intercessory prayer part. When my child gets sick, I need to start praying. God, how do you want me to pray for them? You want me to take them to the doctor? You want them to be healed? Do I need to change something about their diet or what they're doing? I need to know your word on this. You tell me your word, and I'll begin to speak your word in faith. And then the third job of the intercessor is to trust God that He's going to accomplish His will. And at that point, we just need to start resting in Him and praising Him and thanking Him, knowing that He's going to do what He has called us to pray for Him to do. Let me give you some examples out of the Bible of intercessory prayer. Okay, turn to Isaiah 62. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 62, starting in verse 6. Through the prophet, the Lord says, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent." He's talking about intercessors. And then he says about those who never keep silent, "You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give Him no rest until He establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Lord is saying, I'm calling intercessors to be like watchmen on the wall, and I don't want them to give me any rest. I don't want them to take any rest until they have seen my will accomplished. Now, that may mean, as an intercessor, that you actually spend a lot of time just waiting on the Lord. You're waiting on the wall, waiting to hear what God is calling you to pray for. You're waiting and watching. You're waiting for the Holy Spirit to anoint you to pray. You try to make yourself available at all times, but, you know, if the anointing to pray and intercede isn't there, well, then you're just resting and you're just waiting in the Lord. You don't have to be praying all the time. But listen, as an intercessor, you have to be ready to pray at any time that the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes on you. My mother would set aside a time during the day. Actually, she would often set aside two or three times a day, but there was a special time of day that was her time to just be with the Lord and to pray. But then she also made herself available because the Holy Spirit would come on her without warning. And I can remember being in her house visiting with her, and it would be fairly quiet in the house, and all of a sudden in another room somewhere you could hear grandmother start to pray. We call her grandmother at that time. And boy, you could hear she'd start praying in tongues, and she was praying for something. Well, the Holy Spirit had come on her to pray and to intercede. Now, let's look at another example. Exodus 32. Well, I'm not going to read this, but I'm going to give you the scriptures to look up, okay? Exodus 32, verses 6 through 13. This is where Moses gets up on the mountain with God to receive the Ten Commandments and hear from God, and they're getting along fine. And all of a sudden, the Lord interrupts what's going on and says, "Hey, Moses, your people down there, you know what they're doing? They've made a golden calf, and they're worshiping that thing. I think I'm just going to destroy them all, and I'll raise up a nation from you." And if you read the rest of that story, you discover that the first thing Moses does is he stands up in God's way and says, "No, God, don't do that." And he intercedes on behalf of the children of Israel. And he reminds God how much God loves them. He reminds God of His covenant toward them. In other words, he's reminding God of God's will and God's word toward these people. And eventually, of course, God relents. In Hebrews chapter 7, we see that we have in the New Testament a great example of an intercessor, of someone who has been called to this ministry of intercessory prayer. Hebrews 7, verse 25 says, "Hence also He," that's talking about Jesus here, "He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." Jesus is always living to make intercession for us. His primary ministry now, His primary use of His time now, is to intercede on our behalf. Let's join with Him. Let's be intercessors, just like Jesus is. Now, speaking of an intercessor like Jesus is, Jesus was anointed to carry out His ministry, and He expects us to be anointed too. Let's read some scriptures real quick on that. Turn to Matthew 3, and starting in verse 16, Matthew 3, 16 says, "And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he," John the Baptist, "saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, and coming upon him, and behold, a voice out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Holy Spirit, after Jesus was baptized, came upon him, anointed him, gave him power to do the ministry that he began at that point. If we look in Luke 4, as a matter of fact, Jesus finds a prophecy about him, and he explains to everyone around him, "Hey, look, I have been anointed to do this ministry." Luke 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Jesus had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit to do his ministry. And then if you look a little farther in Luke 24 and verse 49, you'll see some of the last words from Jesus on this earth to his disciples was to tell them, "Boys and girls, don't misunderstand anything. If I had to be anointed to do my ministry, then the ministry I'm calling you to do, you're going to have to be anointed too." Luke 24:49 says, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you," that he's talking about the Holy Spirit, "but you are to stay in the city," that's Jerusalem, "until you're clothed with power from on high." In other words, don't even think about starting in on any ministry that I've called you to without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you've been called to a ministry of intercession, if you just need to do intercessory prayer on behalf of somebody else, you must have the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do that. I remember one time I was in college. My brother was in high school. His name is Dave. And he and a bunch of his friends were going to go down to the river and fish. There was a fishing cabin down there, and they decided they'd go get in that cabin and fish from there. And Mother knew that they had gone fishing. And I don't know, after they'd been gone a few hours, it was getting dark toward evening, and she was washing dishes, if I remember right. When she tells the story, she says, "There I was just minding my own business, washing dishes, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came on her and began to anoint her to pray. And as she began to pray in the Holy Spirit, she began to pray in tongues. She knew she was praying for Dave and for his friends. And she didn't know what was going on down there at the river. At first she thought maybe somebody had fallen in the river or something, but as she continued to pray, all of a sudden fire came to her mind, and the Lord revealed to her that she was praying about fire. And so, oh, she really got serious then, praying that whatever the fire was, whatever was happening, that nobody would be hurt, not even their hair would be singed, and that they would all get out of it okay. And after just a few minutes praying that way under this very strong anointing of the Holy Spirit, it lifted. And she realized, okay, whatever the Lord needed, it's done, because the anointing has left me now. And so I'm just going to put this in God's hands and trust him and thank him that everything is okay. Well, a couple hours later, my brother arrives home, and Mother can tell he's really shaken up. And, "Dave, what's going on?" "Oh, nothing." "Now, Dave, I know better than that, because the Holy Spirit had me praying for you boys. What was going on out there? There was something about fire, wasn't there?" And boy, he gets this sheepish look on his face, and so he has to confess to her what was going on. There was a kerosene heater in this cabin, and they got to fiddling around with it and playing with it, and they were going to turn it on, heat the place up, and do something. They were doing something stupid, and that thing caught on fire, and the whole cabin caught on fire, and they thought that they were all going to burn to death. And most of the boys start running out of the cabin, and there was one boy, his name was Donnie. He tripped, fell, had a hard time getting out, and the doorway was blocked by the fire, and he couldn't get out that way. And so he turned around, and there was a window that they had left open. They'd forgotten and left that window open. He saw that open window. He jumped out that window, and he was okay. All of them were okay. Not a single hair was burned on it. Well, that's because the Holy Spirit took over. My mother interceded on their behalf. She stood in front of God and said, "God, your will is to protect them and not have a single one of them hurt." And God accomplished his will because she prayed in faith. Intercessors need the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we need to pray in the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and all petition for all the saints." He's talking about intercessory prayer, because he's talking about somebody who's praying on behalf of someone else. He says we need to pray in the Spirit. That means we need to pray in tongues. That's what he's talking about. Like I was saying, sometimes you hear Mother just abruptly start speaking in tongues. Well, you knew that an anointing had come on her to pray and to intercede for somebody at that time. Matter of fact, I think this is one way you can tell if God has called you to a ministry of intercession. You'll find yourself suddenly being overcome by the Spirit of God to pray. "I just got to pray. I don't know what's going on. I just got to pray." And you'll start praying in tongues, and you don't have any idea what you're praying for or who you're praying for sometimes. You just know God wants you praying right then. Some call this getting a burden or getting under a burden to pray. The Holy Spirit comes on them in a very strong way, and they can feel the weight of God's love. They can feel the very heart of God for whoever or whatever they're praying for. Look at Hebrews 5 in verse 7. I'll give you an example of the first recorded event of someone getting under a burden like this for intercessory prayer. It's talking about Melchizedek. And says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications. Supplications, in this case, comes from a word that means intercessions. So he offered up prayers and intercessions with loud crying and with tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Sometimes, when the Holy Spirit anoints us in a strong way and we're interceding on behalf of someone else, that love of God comes over us and we can't help but cry out and pray under that strong anointing, under that burden. I can't overemphasize the importance of praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. If you're not able to pray in tongues, if you don't pray in tongues on a regular basis, then please begin now to seek God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the promise of the Father that they needed to wait for. It was the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and with that comes the ability to speak in tongues under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Pray that the Lord will make you hungry, make you desperate for him, make you desperate to want to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I pray in tongues off and on all day long, every chance I get. It's, to me, the most liberating thing I think I've ever done in my life. And I know some of you will think this is sacrilege, but listen, praying in tongues is better than exercise, it's better than Krispy Kreme donuts, and it's better than chocolate ice cream. Anytime I'm feeling down or I'm feeling a little bit low, all I have to do is spend a few minutes praying in tongues, and I immediately begin to feel better. I feel built up. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, I'm not going to turn there, but I want you to write it down because I think you need to read this. Paul is talking about speaking in tongues, and he says, those who speak in tongues build themselves up, or they are built up by that process. I don't know what I would do if I couldn't speak in tongues every day and allow the Holy Spirit to build me up in that way. But there's another great reason for praying in tongues, and that is sometimes we're praying in tongues because we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what God's will is. We don't have any idea what's going on. And God wants to pray through us. He wants to pray his perfect will. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. I want to show you an example of this. 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to start in verse 14. Paul is helping us understand here that there are two ways to pray. You can pray in your understanding, that's the language that you know, or you can pray in the Spirit, that's a language you don't know. That's the Holy Spirit praying through you. And he says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I shall pray with the Spirit, and I shall pray with my mind also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. Turn to Romans 8, starting in verse 26. Paul writes and says, and in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He's talking about sometimes we start praying and we can't even form words. But if we'll pray in the Spirit, listen to verse 27, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. When we begin to pray in the Spirit, when we begin to pray in tongues, we are allowing God to pray through us and to pray his perfect will for us. When we intercede in tongues, we're letting the great intercessor himself, Jesus, intercede through us. I believe this is what was happening a few years ago when my brother took his son to the lake. They had just bought a boat. They had that boat on a trailer. They backed the trailer down into the lake. You know how it is at a boat ramp, where you're going to let the trailer off into the water. My brother Paul gets out of the car and puts the brake on, and his son Josh stays in the car, and Paul goes around to release the boat so it'll float out into the water. And as he gets up on that trailer hitch to release that boat, the car started sliding down the ramp and into the water. And all Paul could see was that car of his going underwater. And he's sitting there thinking, oh no, Josh is still in that front seat. I got to get him out of there. And then all of a sudden, Josh says, hey Dad, look at that. And Josh is standing way away from the car. At exactly that time when that was going on, the anointing of the Holy Spirit came over my mother, and she began to pray in tongues, and she didn't know what it was about. She didn't know that it was about Paul or Josh or water or anything. She just knew that she was praying in tongues at exactly that time. When they get back from the lake and Paul calls mother to tell her what happened,
She asked him, what time was that? And he tells her the time, and it was at exactly the time that she was praying. When she started praying, Josh said, you know what, I don't know why, but as soon as Daddy got out of the car and closed the door and told me to stay in the car, I just got the hibby-jibbies, and I just wanted to get out of that car. I just couldn't stay in that car anymore, and so I got out of the car, and as soon as I got out, it started going down into the lake. Sometimes praying in tongues is the only way we can accomplish the intercessory prayer ministry that God has called us to. Well, I know our time is drawing short here, so let me give you a couple of scriptures and give you a couple other comments. One is just about the idea of form and discipline in prayer, okay? The idea of daily finding a time and place that you can dedicate to prayer. My mother had her chair, as she called it, that she would sit in and read the Word and pray every day, and it was the time that she could meet with her Lord and have intimate time with Him. And she'd work her schedule around it so she could be there. And if she had to go to a doctor's appointment or something else during the time that she normally spent in her chair, oh, it really flustered her. And sometimes she just messed up for the whole day. So let me suggest to you, have a dedicated place and a dedicated time that helps get our mind off ourselves, get our mind onto God, and helps put us in a place where God can use us as an intercessor. In Mark 1:35, we won't turn to it, but read there when you get a chance. It talks about how Jesus was praying before sunrise. And then in Matthew 14:23, it talks about how Jesus was praying in the evening. These were the liturgical time of prayers for the Jews. Every Jew that was a devout Jew anyway prayed in the evening and in the morning like this. He was having a regular rhythm or a regular time of prayer. In Luke 5:16, it talks about how Jesus slipped away and prayed. In some cases, it talks about how he prayed all night. In Matthew 26:36-45 is his time in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he goes back to his disciples and he says, guys, couldn't you even pray with me for just 1 hour? And it's kind of like he's setting us a good example of, you know, boys, you ought to spend at least an hour in prayer every day. Well, that's a good goal for us to set. Let's find a time and let's find a place where we can spend an hour in prayer every day. You'll also find places like in Luke 6:12 or Matthew 4:1-2, where an hour just wasn't enough for Jesus. You know, he went on, he prayed all night. Sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to be able to pray until that burden is lifted. We have to pray until the victory's won. We have to pray until the anointing to intercede leaves us. Okay, now I want to leave you with one last thought. We've been talking a lot about the ministry of intercession, how some are called to that as a specific ministry. But listen, everyone is called to be at least what I call a micro-intercessor. In Romans 12:12, we read, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Another translation says instant in prayer, that is, being ready to pray at any time. That's what I call micro-intercession. It's a great use of otherwise less productive time, like driving in the car, going to work, taking a walk in the morning, going up and downstairs, whatever you're doing. Let that be a time when you're available to the Lord. And when the Lord brings somebody to your mind, just take a few seconds, even if it's just 30 seconds, and pray for them and intercede on their behalf. If you're at church Sunday and somebody gave a prayer request, or like us, we were at home group last night, there were several prayer requests. I prayed for them today. I did micro intercession for them, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute. When I thought about those prayer requests, I prayed for them right then. We can all do that. We can all be instant in prayer in that way.